Didn't we have one of the mechanical clauses as much that you still have to pay the 2 seconds?
That's the device.
You ask the machine, it's supposed to do machine.
Shnia does not have
also,
mechanical.
Also, just
but it has to accept.
It wasn't the same thing. There was no mechanical choice by the Shnia.
Shnia is no mechanical choice.
I understand. Why is there no mechanical choice by Shnia?
Because he knew she was a Shnia. I mean, if
he knew she was a Shnia.
Yeah. In other words, the din that a Shnia doesn't have a kesuba is even when there's no mechanical choice. So, at least when there's no mechanical choice, the Ravid says for sure there's going to be Tosefis because that's his voluntary obligation. And the Ravid Shita is very, very logical. The Ravid Shita is, in other words, we have a member of Shmuel. Shmuel says in Maseches Kesuvas that even if a woman doesn't have a Kesuva, she still has a Tosefis, right? That's what Shmuel says. Zokta Ravid, that's referring to women who lose the Kesuva not because of Mekach Tois, such as a Shnia. But any woman who loses her Kesuva because of Mekach Tois, such as Besula, that is a Ba'ula, or even Almanol Kain Gadol Grishul Chizukin Hedjit, if it's Loi Hikir Ba. So the Ravid says, in Mekach Tois, there's Vadai no Chiluk between Iker and Tosefes, and therefore the Ravid sets a sign that Shmuel's Memra is only by a Shnia where it's Hikir Ba. Shnia where it's Hikir Ba. Yet, but the Rambam is Chiluk, right? The Rambam and the Rif both learn that Shmuel's Din is absolute. Shmuel's Din basically is that even when Chachamim took away Ksuba, they left the Tosefes. And we don't say the Svara of Mekach Tois to be Mevatel Tosefes. The only thing we left open, which I didn't have a chance to look at, is what would be the din of Kansa Becheskas Besula Venimtsis Ba'ula, where it's Mamash of Mekach Tois. In other words, would the Rambam even say there that the woman gets a Tosefes? That I'm not sure. Okay. One other thing. This halacha, going back to the Mishnah, it's a little ambiguous. This halacha that says that if an isha gets married al pi eidechad and the husband comes back, so she has to leave. She's not allowed to go back even to the first husband. And the question is, at least if she's an Eishes Yisrael, right? Why can't she go back to the first husband? At most, she's an anusa. She thought her husband was dead. So I had mentioned that Chazal say, I mean, the Rif will bring it, that this was a necessary rabbinic gezeira by making it chomor at the end. If the husband comes back, that maximizes the probability that Isha Daika Uminsava. But the emes is, some learn, because the Gemara is confusing, because at various points in the sugya, the Gemara gives another reason, which also makes a lot of sense, and that is the following. It is simply a corollary of the fact that she needs a get from the second guy. Now, why does she need a get from the second guy? Because people will think, Gireish Zeh, V'nasa Zeh. Well, the same logic that says she needs a get from the second guy will automatically say she can't go back to the first guy because it looks like Machzik Rishasim, which means the Israel going back to the first guy is Lav Dafka Mitam Kanas. It may simply be a corollary of the Girei Zev and Asa Zev, V'nimtza Machzir Grushasek. Yeah? Elamai, you can learn that both reasons work in tandem, meaning the actual reason why she can't go back is Girei Zev and Asa Zev, and it looks like Machzir Grushasek. But once we have the Metzias that she won't be able to go back, that will Memela give us the ability to believe the Eidechad al Staiku Mitzvah, meaning both reasons work together. Okay. But let's see, again, the Rif will bring a lot of this, and we'll be looking back and forth at the Gemara as well. Okay. So let's see, the Gemara and the Rif. Now again, remember that the Mishnah doesn't say that the Reish is Eidechad, right? The Mishnah has a strange Lashon, she got married Bershus Beistin. So the Rif says, Ukimno the Resha the Masnisen. We set sign the Resha of the Mishnah, Diktani Tasin Mizel Mizeh, Shenisis Brishus Basedin, that means Be'ed Echad. The E Isla Shnei Edim, Leit shmichel lebeistin. Now again, this lashon, leit shmichel lebeistin, which is really just a quotation from the Gemara, doesn't really mean she doesn't have to go to Basin. About it, she does have to go to Basin, because Edom themselves do not matter until Basin is makabel Edom. If a woman has two witnesses that tell her her husband is dead, she cannot marry without going to Basin, because Edus is not valid until it's makabel, and there has to be drisha v'chakira and everything else. But what the Gemara means when it says she doesn't need rishas Basin, it just means she doesn't need a special takonas. Basin means chazal. She doesn't need a special takonas chachamim. Mishum hachi teisei mizeh mizeh v'seifa diptani nisei shalobrishos muteris lachzerlai. That means shalobrishos Basin. She doesn't need a takana ela b'shnei edim lefikach muteris lachzerlai dehavi lo anusa. In other words, when a woman gets married al pi tu edim, she's called an anusa. So memela, she can go back to her first husband. The amrinin may have ilal meva. V'chein amar rav leishanu el shenisus b'edechad avol nisus b'shnei edim lo teitze mi'atera shabal arishayin. But then the Rif says, this is fascinating, even though that's what our Mishnah holds, right? Our Mishnah holds that way. The less hilchus ha'achin elo leishna nisus al pi beistin u'b'edechad below shna nisus al pi shnei edim im ba baila harishain teitze mizeh u'mizeh v'chol hadrachim ha'elu ba. So this is a tremendous chiddush, because the Gemara itself does not say this anywhere, although the Rif will have arrived in the Gemara. But the Rif basically says, even if a woman is nisus al pi shnei edim hagam, that the Mishnah says she goes back to her first husband, we paskin, she does not go back to her first husband. Now, what's his raya? Damrinan lekaman, Rav Papa savar lemevad uvde b'mayhavala lemevad. Rav Papa wanted to paskin halacha lemaisa, that if a woman married al pi tu edim, she could go back to her husband, because what could she have done? She has a right to be soimech on tu edim. But Omar le Rav Huna b'reid of Yeshua le Rav Papa. Vaha anan tanan hani masnisa. Let's look at the Gemara. Tzadik Aleph. Let's see what that Gemara says. First of all, you're immediately going to have a big problem here. I mean, we'll see in a moment. I mean, if the reason is, well, maybe you know, I'm just thinking, what would the svara possibly be that if a woman marries al pi tu edim, she can't go back to the first husband? See, bishlama with eid echad. This will be tali. Gira sevenas is that is still shy. Meaning like this: if I say the reason she can't go back to the first husband is we want to ensure that she'll be daika uminsava, which therefore gives us the ability to be saimech on an eid echad, that would only be a svara by eid echad, not by two eidim. But if I say that there's a gezeira that when she marries a second guy and the first guy shows up, people are going to think Gireish Zeh, the Nasa Zeh, and if she goes back to the first guy, it looks like Machsir Gerushasai, then that actually works out. According to that, there should not be a chiluk between one witness and two witnesses. So that gufa could be the machlokas here. The Mishnah that says she can't go back, but is machalik between one witness and two witnesses, is because the Mishnah is going with Mitaych Chaymer Shechamarta Allah B'Saifa Heikalta Allah B'Tchilasa, and you need Isha Daiko Minsava, and Mimela, that's only a Svara by Eid Echad, that's not a Svara by two Edim. That's what the Mishnah holds. But Lahalacha, and we'll see the Raya, the Gemara, but Lahalacha, we paskin that the Iker reason she can't go back to the first husband is Girei Seh V'Nasa Zeh V'Nimtzis Machzir V'Rishasei E'Bazai Leishna Eidecha Leishna Tu Eidem. Although it would seem to me, that's still not a good teretz. Because the way the Rif brings it, the Rif says, Kol Hadrachim Ha'eluba. Meaning, it's not just she can't go back to the first husband, but rather, well, maybe that is now, rather, all of the things happen. She doesn't get a ksuva, she doesn't get a mezainus. Now, why should that be? No, but it could be the same thing. Well, that's totally on what we learned a few days ago. I mean, if a machzor grushasei mamish gets a ksuva, then even if this is a machzor grushasei, why should she be worse? Now, there actually was a machlokes, right? The Gemara actually said it depended on margilasei or doraisa. Certainly, if you hold the svara divrei Torah ein tzorich chizuk, a machzor grushasei gets a ksuva. So, how could girei zeh v'nasa zeh? See, again, like our Mishnah, that with one witness we have to have special rules to be machmer on her, so we have all of these kenosis. But by two Edom, where the only residual problem you have is Girei Seh V'Nasa Zeh, that might be a good svara why she's forbidden to go back, but that's not a svara why she loses all those other things.
Plug maybe.
Maybe it's a low plug. Because again, it's hard to know why we would. Okay, it's a low plug that has very severe. Thank you. That has very severe consequences to the woman.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so let's see what the Gemara says on what's it? Tzadik Aleph on the base. Yes. Yeah, towards the bottom. Rav Papa Savar Lemevet Uvde. Yeah, so Rashi says this is going on the case where an Eishes Ish married al pi two Edim that her husband died, and the husband shows up. So Rav Papa wanted a pasken halacha lemaisa, like our Mishnah, that she's allowed to go back to her husband because she's an anusa, at least if the husband's not a kohen. But my havi lo lameva. What do you expect a woman to do when there's two Edom? Like our Mishnah. Rav Papa wanted to paskin like our Mishnah. Omer le Rav Huna. V'reid Rav Yoshua le Rav Papa. For hasanye kol hani masnaisa. In other words, the Gemara brought before a bunch of brisos that implies even with two Edom, she's forbidden. So why do you follow the, again, it's a difficult kasha, why do you follow the Mishnah when there are so many brises fakir? Of course, one answer might be because it's a Mishnah.
Right.
But okay. But Omar Lay, but Rav Papa says the brises aren't a kasha at all. V'lav shaninu, I fanfred the brises. In other words, the Gemara had asked kashas that the brisa contradicts the Mishnah, and we had answered it. So the Mishnah is the halacha. So Amar Lei V'yashinuye Leiko V'lisma. Actually, this is a fascinating cloud. Do you have the right to be Saimech on Ukimtas and Terutzim to go against the simple sense of a text? Meaning like this. You have a Brisa that contradicts a Mishnah. You want to answer, it really doesn't contradict because the Brisa is talking about a specific case. But that's not Pshuta Yishel Brisa. And Memela, when it comes to Halacha Lemaisa, at least Lechumra, you can't be Seimech on an Ukimta or a Shinoi, a Teretz, a Shinoi Yedachika, to be Mekel. Right? Now, still though, you still have a problem because at worst that just means the Brisa is cholik on the Mishnah. But I still have a Mishnah. I mean, in other words, what would be Machai of you to go like the Brisa in the first place? I don't know. Why would there be an assumption that because, in other words, the Mishnah says what it says, the Brisa contradicts the Mishnah. You give, let's say, what is called a Shinoya Dechika. But even if we're daicha, your shinuya techika, the worst you have is a machlokas between the Brisa and the Mishnah. But even if you have a machlokas between the Brisa and the Mishnah, go like the Mishnah. In other words, what's the shaka v'tarya here? See, it's part of a methodological problem. It really is a difficult issue, the relationship of Mishnayos to Braisos. One way of looking at it is, the word Braisos, of course, means outside, right? It simply means any teaching of Tanoim that is outside of the Miskeret of the Mishnah. So a Braisa is Kailel Tesefta, a Braisa is Kailel Midrashei Halacha, Sifri, Sifra, Mechilta, and Braises are Kolel Braises that we don't have any other source. There are many, many Braises in the Gemara that we have no other source than the fact that the Gemara brings it itself. We don't have it in any other collection. I once saw somebody put together, I mean, it's his own Sefer. He put up something called Sefer HaBraises. He wanted to make a Sefer, but that's a made up thing. There is no Sefer HaBraises.
Presumably there were. I mean,
well, we don't know. Maybe they were preserved off pen. In other words, when Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, even have the Rebbe write the Mishnah. Okay, but when Rebbe was Masader the Mishnah, whether he was Masader it Baal Peh, or whether he actually produced a written document,
you mean Masader without being written down?
Some say it wasn't written down. Some say
so
he wasn't. We don't know exactly. Some say that many, many teachers, many, many Tanoim, had their own organizations of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Rebbe sifted through it what should be the official standardized organization.
That's sort of like the official line, right? That's the official line.
Right.
That's what we say in the Shiddur.
Right. Our official line is a little different. Our official line, which Rashi actually says, is that Rebbe also wrote it because of Eisvasos Lashem Meferet Torasecha. What I'm saying is there is a machloket. Everybody's mitre Rebbe was Masada. That's not our question.
What would that mean?
The question is, was he by sifting through Brises, right? But did he then produce a written work or was it? Yeah, well, that's right. That is the pashas, but some learn the Mishnah was still oral. Okay. But be it as it may.
So what's the eslasos to make it organized? I mean, that's the eslasos.
No. Then there wouldn't be an eslasos till later.
Right.
But whether it's written or oral, that's a separate.
Some
question.
Anonymous person put it together, wrote it down at some point. There's no. Essentially.
Maybe even the Gaonim. Even the Gemara says that some say it was not written down because they say in the Yeshivas of Gaonim the Gemara was still learned orally, but it was an official text. Some say. But we don't have to get into that. Let's assume Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. Let's assume Rebbe Noravashi wrote the Gemara. But what's the relationship to Braises? Meaning the Braises were teachings out there. They were oral. Bunch of teachings from hundreds and hundreds of different Tanoim. Rebbe sifts through them. Rebbe and the Beis Sanhedrin. And they're Machriya. Either they're Machriya Halacha, or they're often not Machriya Halacha, but at least they're Machriya which Deos need to be considered in the Halacha. So if the Mishnah brings a Machlokas, so maybe the Mishnah is not Paskening, but the Mishnah is indicating that your choice has to be between these two and not the other five opinions that might be. Now if that's the case, it would seem that the Mishnah is always a Hachra Keneged a Braisa, because Rav Yehuda Nasi made the Hachra which deus of Tanoim should be included.
It might have agreed with one Braisa.
Huh?
It might have agreed with one.
But when there's a conflict, I mean. When there's a conflict between a Mishnah and a Braisa, so the Mishnah is a Hachra, because Rebbe had all of those Braisas, and Rebbe, through his Sanhedrin, chose which deus are there. Now, if that's
are you saying that there's no the Mishnah wasn't Pesach?
Well, the Mishnah is not always a Pesach. If the Mishnah brings Machlokes from Meir and Rav Yehuda, I mean, when the Mishnah...
We have rules on how to...
Yeah, but those rules are not necessarily rules of the Mishnah. They may be rules of Amaran. In other words, if you have a rule, Rav Meir of Rav Yehuda, Halacha ki Rav Yehuda, right? Or Halacha ki Rav Meir. Or Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mechaveva. Those rules are not necessarily Mishnayic in origin. Those rules might be from Amoraim. In fact, they're only mentioned there. So the Mishnah does not give you a psak on every shal. Now maybe when they say Chachamim Omrim, they're giving you a psak. But they're not giving you a psak when they give you different mandi
omrim. Is that the idea of
organizing? No, lav davka. It basically was a manual of the information that Dayan Rishonim need to consider.
Cute,
so for example, if there are 10 views in a Tosefta and the Mishnah gives you 3, to review that Nasi, it's a limited hakra. It is a psak halacha that you got to choose among these 3, but it's not telling you which among the 3. So it's a more limited purpose.
Why would anyone do that?
What?
Why did anyone preserve so much about that?
No, because he wanted to preserve it. The Mishnah wanted to preserve the autonomy of localized psak halacha. That's exactly right. In fact, the Emes is even much later, much, much later, after the Shulchan Aruch, talking about already the Achronim, Maral was against the Shulchan Aruch. Maral was a misnomer, as he says. He was against the Rambam too. I mean, he basically said the concept would be the Gemara, you have a Shaka Bataria, and every Meira Hara should go back to the Gemara and determine what the Psak Halacha is. You don't try to standardize Halacha. So the Emes is, the whole Mishnah is written in that way. So the Mishnah is,
that's a fascinating idea. Saying that Rebbe, like, he just wanted to give you a selection of those that he determined.
What they call it, best practices, right?
Best practices.
Best practices.
But he's also limiting your shot. I mean, you only have these choices.
That's correct. He's telling you. He said, we want you to have choices, but we want to limit the range. We want to limit the range.
Many years later, I mean, the Beis Yosef basically did the same thing, maybe in a broader way. He also limited opinions. He didn't bring everyone down. He brought a lot of people down, but he didn't bring everybody down.
That's true, but he also gives you I mean, at that point the proliferation was so great you couldn't bring everything.
Right. So he chose apparently the ones that he chose.
In fact, the Beis Yosef's famous rule, which he doesn't always follow, is frankly a made up rule. Who told him that? The Beis Yosef has a rule of 2 out of 3, and the 3 that he chose were the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. Now, that's certainly not a din of Achri Rabbim. So 2 out of 3 is Rabbim within his group of 3. But I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds.
Those 3 within the people that he brought, even in the Beis Yosef itself, he brought other different opinions. He still didn't bring everybody. He limited it once and limited it twice almost.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure if he deliberately. In other words, Beis Yosef may not have had everything.
He wrote everything that he had.
It's hard to say. You get that impression. I mean, Beis Yosef is pretty comprehensive. Although it's interesting, they say this is totally guesswork speculation. I don't know. There was a very prominent sefer in the time of the Beis Yosef, Shesh Shuvos Binyamin Zev. He was known as a Pesach, and he was at the time of the Beis Yosef, and the sefer was around, and the Beis Yosef doesn't bring. It was like the only tshuva of the door that the Beis Yosef doesn't bring. I'm just wondering if there was a personal reason. It's just very strange to me that this is the only contemporary tshuva sefer that is not mentioned at all in the Beis Yosef. And it's considered to be a chashuv sefer, but okay. The reason I'm okay. I mean, again, this is an interesting thing, and again, it's. But the question is this: the question is, if you understand Brisus as a big universe from which Rebbe made a hachra, then it's difficult to understand a shaka v'tarya that says, "How can you paskin like the Mishnah? We have Brisus." Yeah. Now, there is another way of understanding Brisus. For example, let's take the Tosefta. The Gemara says that Tosefta was compiled by Rav Chiya and Rav Ishiya. Now, Rav Chiya and Rav Ishiya were Talmidim of Rebbe. So what do we mean they compiled? What didn't Rebbe have access to all of these things? So one answer might be they were Masadarit in a written work, meaning they didn't bring in anything new. Rebbe had all of this, but it wasn't in writing. So as part of the Eislas Lashem, they put those brises into writing. But there's another possibility that perhaps they were Ma'asef Deos that Rebbe himself did not have. And therefore it may have on some level the status of a later Basin, although it's not Gadol B'Chachma V'Minyan. And if that's the case, it is arguable that at some point, if we have so many Deos in a Tosefta like Brisa that are connected to Mishnah, that might indicate you should be Machmir. In other words, I wish I had bigger Bikias and Shas. In other words, it'd be an interesting question to go through Shas and go through Halachas and say, when is the Gemara Madcha a Mishnah because of a Brisa? That's really our question. Because in one logical sense, the answer should be never. And yet we see that the Gemara does it sometimes. And this is one example, but there vaday are other examples. And it really depends on how you conceptualize at least some brises. Are brises old information that the Mishnah superseded? Or is a brisa supplementary information that as a result may supersede the Mishnah in that way?
I always thought that there was a little bit of both, depending on which side.
No, the answer is it would be both. And maybe how does the Gemara the Gemara know which way is which? So maybe that's why this is only a Shevi Al Tasa. Remember that in this case, in this particular case, when the Gemara is suggesting will be matche a Mishnah because of a brisa, it is b'shevi al tasa. It's telling the one that we will not let the woman remarry. So it's not. So maybe that's goof of the nature of the shevi al tasa. We're not sure if the Mishnah supersedes the brisa, or the brisa supersedes the Mishnah. Mamela, we have to be machriya shevi al tasa. And then the second point is, and even if you have a teretz for the brisa, that's another point. You're not soymech on a teretz to be. There are two levels here. One is, you want to make it consistent, well, you can't be soymech on your dechukim. The second is, even if they're not consistent, I want to follow the Mishnah, so that is also a shevi al tasa, because this might be what you might call a superseding brisa. So this would be a nice project to go through. When in the Gemara are we matche mishnayas mikame brisa, and when do I say the Mishnah is ikar?
How many brises do we bring in? Maybe it's a case of the number as well. We have a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, let's see how many brises do we bring. Although logically, unless you go with the theory of a superseding brisa, it should not make a difference. Even if you have 100 brises, the Rebbe Nasi was machriya, not like that. So I'm not sure if numbers would make
it. We have to say Rebbe
had
every brisa.
I'm saying that's the issue. Meaning he either had it or some of the brises. But there's new information.
You could even say the first pshat, but there were not. He was not clear, but they didn't have any information. That would be against the Chazon Ish.
Well, okay, but that's just another way of saying that there were brises that are later information. He didn't have. Yeah. No. Let me point out. In other words, when I said brises are new information, I mean newly discovered. In other words, I don't mean new information, because by definition, every statement of Tanaim is chronologically earlier than Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. So by definition, if we say it's a new brisa, I don't mean it's a new teaching from after Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. I mean it was a newly discovered teaching, which presupposes, again, that is not like the Chazon Ish.
Right. And this didn't work out both in things that are, so to speak, Svara or Halacha. A Masara and Halacha and a Masara and Svara. In other words, you see sometimes you say, oh, it's almost like a Torah Sinai, almost a certain degree. Yeah. I'm bringing down this is the halakha, not like a svar that I worked out, and this is the din of whatever Tana was writing at Brisa. It was going both of them.
No, I think it was either way. Yeah,
whatever.
What do they say though? They say, you know, it's very interesting, especially in certain areas of halakha. Tefila, minhagim of tefila, minhagim of avelas. So the minhagim that developed in many kehilos were actually connected to Gemara. Connected to Mishnah, connected to Gemara, and all sorts of questions. But some say that some minhagim are actually older than the Gemara itself, older than the Mishnah itself. Like there was a minhag Ashkenaz. I don't remember what the minhag was, and somebody said, you know, how could this be this minhag Ashkenaz? It's connected to the Bavli. So he says, well, this minhag is older than the Bavli. The Bavli was kavua, you know, at a certain date. Let it be 600. Minhag goes back to 200. Minhag goes back, shortly after the Churban by Hasheni, and there were different minhagim, and they weren't mechuyev even with the Chasimas HaTalmud on certain inyanim of minhag. They were not mechuyev to change their minhagim because the Gemara came out a different way. That's quite amazing that there were minhagim that are actually earlier than the Kaviyas of Teresh HaBaal Peh.
That we know for sure. That's more of a speculation. That we don't. It's an old.
No, it's recorded in Rishonim.
This minhag is predates.
This is an old. This is before this.
Yeah, you can say that about every single minhag they have.
Well, yeah, that's what I do. You know, it's interesting. L'hachzer atar liyishin. You know, for many, many, many years, Bnei Yeshiva they didn't like the Yaki davening at all. Even if they came from Yaki, they didn't like, you know, they say every page in the Machzor from page 1 to page 1,000. The extras, you know, they say everything. So the whole concept was that the B'nai Torah broke away, they would start their own minyanim, fast minyanim, or faster minyanim, or daven slower with less things. But then, you know, and that's why in Baltimore, for example, the Glen Avenue show, you know, was a famous old Yekesh show, but they were down to like almost nobody. They couldn't get a minion because nobody wanted the Yitzris and everything else. So they finally went to Shlomo Zalman Orbach for a psak. The show was dying. And they said, are we allowed to be Mishana? You know, the show was miyusin based on these minhagim. Can we change the name? So Shlomo Zalman Paskins, he had an interesting psak, that a majority of the show, there's no concept if the show was founded a certain way, right. It's got to be that way forever.
Now.
He says a majority of a kehila could be kaveya, what their minhagim are, but he said, l'chavayt, the miyastim and the older people that are still around, they should keep some yekeshim minhagim, which are not onerous. The way they do galila, you know, different things. In other words, they gave him a list of 30 things, and he checked off on them and the like. So Glen Avenue stopped being a yekesh shul, but they preserve some old minhagim l'zecher, and then it grows back again. So now B'nai Torah go there. But now I see that there's a new movement now. There's a Rav Hamburger in B'nai Brak, who puts together Sfarim on minhagim of Ashkenaz, that they want to get back. It's like getting back to their roots. They want to get back to the Seder, to the Nimus.
Well, he has a whole world of there, Henry.
It's very, very, you know, he's really, he's done a lot for this. Hachzorah Torah Leoshnis, not just Shas, it's Yekin. And he has websites, and he has four very, very fine Sforim about the Minhagim of Ashkenaz. And they're starting Kehilas now. So I see now B'nai Torah saying we want to have the Yekesh, we love the Seder, we love the consistency, we love the punctuality, we love the aesthetics. So now it's Fakir. Now they want to go back and do all the things.
They say
everything, and they like it. It connects them. You know, so it's interesting. Everybody rebels. Even in a good way, people are rebelling back and forth. You see that, Yaitis, you know, in Chassidim also say Yaitis, not just Yaitis, Chassidim say Yaitis. But the Litvashim didn't say Yaitis. So basically, we got divorced over this. Very, very sad. Maisa. Basil his first wife, he married into a Chassidish family. And for some reason, you know, he was already a Gain and an Eloi young man. So for some reason, his brothers-in-law, his wife's brothers, were very, very jealous of it because people were the Shver was mechabedim more than them, and they really felt so. For whatever reason, they started being malshin on him. They started saying, you know, he's really an amoritz. He doesn't know anything. You know, he sits and he learns all day, but he doesn't know. You can ask him the simplest shaila. Now, the Shver was a very pashut yitz, but he knew the sitter well. He says, okay, go and ask him. It was like during Sukkot. What Yaitzer do you say when the first day of Sukkot is on Wednesday? What Yaitzer do you say the third day? It's like a calendar question of what type of thing do you say? Which is basically he never said anything. So the Shver asks him, he says, my sons say, you know, you wouldn't know this, but this is so passionate. The Shver was embarrassed, for sure you would know this. To his absolute shock, basically, he said, I don't know, you have to look at a luach. But the Shver was like heartbroken. He said, ay, 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 they're right, you're an Amoritz. Ay, 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 how can I do this? He demanded that he give a get to his daughter. He said, it's a Mekach Tois. And basically, he didn't want, he already had a child. He already had a daughter from this. And but what happened was, unfortunately, it was very poisonous, Lashon Hara, that the wife was turned against him. The wife was
It's really a crazy story.
It's a crazy story. And basically, we got divorced. I don't know if he saw his daughter again. He, you know, the whole very emotional scene they described. He was sobbing and crying, and you know, they were. You know, the wife already was not. The wife already, mamish developed an aversion.
It's amazing how they couldn't figure out at some point. He says, "Go to the biggest rabbi of the shul. Go to the biggest rabbi you know. It's ridiculous. It's stupid misunderstanding. It's an absurdity. Get divorced."
I don't know. I can't tell you it's true. It's recorded. This mice is recorded. So he married. I think he married an almana with many children. I think his second marriage he had many stepchildren. But that he raised. But this is the Maisa. So you got to know. You got to know your Yitzchus. You got to know your Yitzchus.
Or get married to a Lifter.
That would work. Right. Otherwise, you can get in trouble. The same thing they say. I think Rav Moshe said once. Somebody asked Rav Moshe, like, what does a Rav need to know? What does a Rav need to know? You know, Rav Moshe says, be sure you know what time lich benching is. You know, even though those are things on a calendar, you know, well, bottom of the figure, if you don't know lich benching, that's how it is, you know.
Yeah.
He says, be sure you know.
When you say tachanun,
those things, in fact, they say every week, you know, this is Rav Moshe's patience. He used to give his shir kolali, which was very complicated. That's the Dibros Moshe, this very, very complicated marachas. He would give it Friday morning. Not as bad as Rav Aaron, who would give it Shabbos, but okay, but he gave it Friday morning. And, you know, the Lower East Side, there's all sorts of poor people and old people and homeless people. It's an assorted, you know, in those days at least. Now it's regentrified. So an old woman, like almost like a bad woman, would come in every Friday in the middle of this year and say, Rebbe, what time is lich benching? And he would always tell her, every in the middle of this year, she always came in. Amen. So he says, that's what a Rav has to know.
So you go to Mosheh Shabbos, to the great synagogue, you see the slichas, you see almost all
Torah. Oh yeah, is that true? They go for the Chazanis?
30, 40, 50% you black hats.
Really? They go for the Chazanis.
People go for the
Chazanis.
It's very, I don't know how
I can't. I don't know what it is. Maybe my father loves Shalom liked it. I didn't. I don't have the gene for it. I like the Gunim, but the Chazanis just too long.
But they start half an hour before it's actually Chazanis anyway, so I don't know if they...
Okay.
By the time they finish, maybe get one or two...
Okay, they have a choir often?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So surely that story that the new, how transactional marriage was in Europe, and you realize that, well, what kind of, I mean, that's just crazy. It doesn't bother me.
I mean, listen, rationally the story makes no sense. It really makes no sense, but this is what is recorded. I don't know. You know, if every mice is true, every mice is true.
Some of was born to give a good story for some of the two show and how terrible his hair was. So
right. Okay. All right, but be this as it, what does the Rif say? So based on the Gemara, Rav Papa Sabah the Nabat Uvdeh, B'mai Havilei L'Mevan, Armalei Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua, back into the Rif, V'anan Sinan Hani Masnisa, Armalei V'lo Shaninu, Armalei, the Alma Zakdarif, less Hilchasa Kirav. Right, Rav is the one that says, Lo say se meter shall by Larishain. Vulai Kirabi Shimon the Tana, the Amar Nisa Shlobishes Materis Lachzer Lai. The Aval Gav, the Amar Rav Hachin Hilchasa, Lai Samchinen Olay. Alright, so the bottom line is that the Rif Paskins, that even if a woman gets married al pi shnei edim, she is not allowed to go back to her husband because the Mishnah is deicha, the Braisa is deicha the Mishnah. Now, what would the Svara be? So the Svara l'chayra would be that the kanas, or the din, that the woman cannot go back to the Baal HaRishayim, is not because of Isha Daiko Minsava, but it's because of Girei Seh V'Nosa Zeh V'Nimtzeis Machsir Gerushasai, and that even applies by two Edim. People are going to think, first guy, right? She gets married to a second guy. First guy's here. They're going to think, first guy gave her a get. Second guy married her. If we then say she goes back to the first guy, it looks like the first guy is being Machsir Gerushasai, especially since she needs a get from the second guy. And therefore, we say in such a case that she cannot. Let me just have the Rambam Paskins here. Where is this? Lesechus Ahochen, Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh. Perek Dalet, Tochus Gershon. I'm sorry, Perek Dalet. Perek, huh? Perek Yud. Perek Yud, Tochus Gershon. Lachahei. Isha Shabo Edim, Shemei Spaila, and this is Rakhla Shabo Baila, Bain Shahaya Baila Pikeach, Bain Shahaya Cheresh, Bain Shinissa to Pikeach, and the Cheresh, as even as Kedushay Cheresh, Taysa Mishneim. Mishne Rechbe Rabba. Yeah, and the Rambam says Beferish. Afal pi, yes, that's very good. Afal pi shenivala bishkaga. So it's my havila lameva. Kidei shalo yamru hichsir ze gerushasai achar shenisis. So in that lungus itself, that reason itself, there is no nafkamina between two adam and one aid. The only thing is, what about the mizaynus? What about all those other things? You know, that's the yesh la'ayin b'zeh. Okay, we'll see. So some of this will get clarified.
And could we say, like what I was trying to say, that's the ikur tam, because the matching b'shosay, that may is going to apply to both things.
Yeah.
And that therefore leads to this other time of what was it, the toshe?
Yeah. But here's the problem. Yeah, okay.
So therefore you get it's only logical in the case of Eid Echad that you have all the Knas.
Yeah.
Then that gets applied by a low blow.
Oh, okay. Alright.
Meaning that's less of a thing. Before we're trying to say the whole thing's a low blow, but now
in other words, once you are incorporating some of the rules that you would apply to Eid Echad because of the Siba of Machshir Grusha,
right.
So then you want to make them equal in all ways. Otherwise people would be confused in applying the halacha. Okay, that might be. Although again, so it's a light plug that actually creates economic hardship. But okay, Seder. That might be it.
Hardship because she can't go back to the original.
She doesn't get her money. Yeah. Although you could learn this way, though. Actually, you could learn this way. I guess what bothers me is, I mean, you might say that since she's not allowed to get married to her first husband, there's a kanas, right? We consider her for being over at the kadosh chachamim. But I guess what's problematical is, unless you can say divrei Torah, that if she would mamish be a machzir grushasai,
she would get it.
So now you're telling me because this looks like machzir grushasai, she doesn't get. But maybe that's not so shver either, because if you go with the svara divrei Torah, ein srich and chizuk, and divrei seif and srich and chizuk, it is yitacha yitacha, just as we saw by ksuba by almana, that we are more machmir on her violating a takanis chachamim than we are with her violating a doraisa. In other words, for a woman to remarry when it looks like she's a machzir grushaso and the chachamim prohibited mitam gezeira might be more chamer than a machzir grushaso mamish.
Especially when we're learning, we're using the doraisa of machzir grushaso to really be mekel. We're using the fact that Maxim Grushasa leads us to the Svara,
yep.
And therefore we can be made of her with Filosa.
Right? But that's by Eid Echad. That's correct.
The fact that we're saying Maxim Grushasa by at all over here, we're Cheshis, it means that we're actually coming to a Kula.
Yes. The Cheshash, or the similarity to Maxim Grushasa is what enables the Kula of Kabbalah Seid Echad.
Which means maybe you'd want to reinstitute some kind of Chumrah. I mean, I don't know if you said that.
Well, again, though, that whatever lumbus you're saying only applies to 1A. It doesn't apply to 2A.
So
you're either going to say a light plug, stam, or you're going to say that this is a knas for her transgressing. She's not allowed to go back to the first guy, so we consider. And even though by a machzir grushasai mamish, I wouldn't knas, but... this is a divrei Torah tzrich and chizuk, ein tzrich and chizuk. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now the Gemara will now say, tzricha get mizah mizah. Why does a woman need a get from both people? So the Gemara asks, bishlama meirishan tiboy get. She certainly needs a get from the first husband because she's married to him. Ela misheni amai. She's not married. So nusbi almahu. So this is where the Gemara introduces it. Amar Rav Huna Gezeira Shema Yaimru Girei Seh V'Nasa Zeh V'Nimsis Eishes Ish Yaitse B'Laya. In other words, this is for sure. Meaning, she needs a get min Hasheni. In other words, Rav Huna is not giving this as the reason why she can't go back to the region. That's a separate matter. He's simply saying, why does she need a get min Hasheni? Answer, because people might construe the second guy as having a marriage. Girei seh v'nasazeh v'nimtzes eishesh yetzeh below get. So now the Gemara asks...
This is also that big enough thing that we were saying yesterday, how this marriage was dissolved in a certain sense. If the whole thing was okay or mamish, So why should you marry? She married to the second person, whatever the reason may be. But because of his appearance, it was mamash okurim. Therefore, there's no.
This is going to be a kasha on the Gemara itself. Meaning like this: the Gemara says we know she needs a get from the first guy, but why does she need a get from the second guy? Now, if you're going to tell me that once the chachamim remind me in eid echad, they're oiker the kedushin of the first guy.
How that works?
Then right. The Gemara should have asked the kasha in reverse. We know what she needs to get from the second guy.
There was never a kedushin. Right.
So at this point. It's very clear. We'll see if the Gemara is chayzer. At this point, it's very clear from the Gemara that the Gemara does not understand the first kedushin as being nekar, and the Mela, why do you need a get from the second guy? It's only because of Gibre Seven Asasat. But the Gemara now asks the Kasha from
the. Look at it basically that he's dead. That he died, essentially. They're making it. They're essentially saying.
Not that he's dead, that he gave her a get. He's alive. The first guy came back.
Right.
People are going to say, if the first guy comes back, they're not going to understand she married because she thought her husband was dead. They're going to reconstruct it. She married because her husband divorced her.
But the initial hakar, the Rabbanah, when she comes to Bezin and says, okay, I got eight echad, I think he's dead.
Yeah, so they permitted him marry because they said he's dead.
They done up that he is dead.
That's
officially
correct.
Dead.
That's correct.
So they just need to give him anything.
That's correct.
She's correct.
They're not oiker the kedusha. They mock her because of Misa. Yeah. But the Gemara asks the following kashi. Yihachi seva. Diktani amrula meis bailech v'niskadsha. V'yachar kach ba baila muteres lachsulay. Now this is not in the Mishnah we read. This is the next Mishnah. Let's say an eid echad says meis baila, she was niskatsha ersin to the next guy, but there was no consummation. And first husband comes back before she committed any znus. So state in the Mishnah, vibal, she did not commit any znus, muteres lachserli. Now the kasha is, if there's a chashash, people will say gireshe v'nosaze, and it looks like she's machzer grushase. That's identical here. Gireshe v'kideshe. Now the emesis that there actually is a machlokes. If you remember, there actually is a machlokes tanoim. Is there an iser of machzer grushase if the second guy was only ma'ares and not bayil? Because if you look in the Chumash itself, the mashmaos is that the Isha Acharon was Bayoler. Okay, but the Gemara is going lahalacha. Lahalacha we paskin, that the love of Machzer Grusha is not only min Hanesuin, but even min Ha'ersin.
That's the Raisa.
If that's the case, frek the Gemara, why is it Muteres Lachzer Lai? It's the identical Chashash. It looks like Machzer Grusha Sai. So look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Seifa Amri Kedushei Tois Havu Reisha Nami Amri Nisuye Tois Havu. So the Gemara wants to say, maybe like this. Now why will people think this? In other words, we're talking about what people will think. The woman initially got married because she thought her husband was dead. First guy comes back. So Rav Huna introduces the idea that people will reconfigure they'll reinterpret what happened, and they'll say, she got married not because her husband was dead, because apparently that was a mistaken news report, he's alive, but we assume the husband gave her a get. And the Mela, it looks like Machzer Grusha, so the Chachamim forbade it. By Kedushin, what not. So there's a third possibility. Instead of saying the husband gave her a get, maybe the first husband. Well, actually, is the first husband or the second? 1 second. When it says Kedushei Tois Havu. Now, is Kedushei Tois Havu meaning the Kedushin was on a Tanai or the Kedushin was based on a mistake? Now, does that mean the first or the second?
The second.
The second guy made a mistake.
The first one wasn't.
There was no Kedushin then.
Yeah, but the first guy has to give a
Kedushin. The marriage wasn't those, for sure not. There was no reason for it to do.
Yeah,
1 second.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
In other words, people will say, instead of saying, in other words, they'll still say, first husband gave a get. But they will say, her leaving the second husband is not a case of he was Makadesh and gives her a get, but they'll say his Kedushin was Kedushin B'tois. And therefore it's not Machzor Grusha, huh?
Why would they say that?
Why would they make that assumption, especially if he has to give a get? I mean, this makes no sense. I mean, what is the halacha? I mean, what is the din if she's Niskadsha LP the Eidecha, and the Mishnah says she's allowed to go back to the first husband? Does she need a get, or doesn't she? When you say she's allowed to go, what's the? She's allowed to go back to the first husband. Is she allowed even without a get, or does she need a get from the second guy? Because if she needs a get from the second guy, I just don't understand how people are going to say Kedushe Tais, she got a get. Unless it means she doesn't even need a get. As well, let's see the Gemara here. This is a test on the dollar. Whereas Masha, you don't need to get in that case. Yeah, this is Pechas Amid Beis, 4 lines from the bottom. Yachi Sefer Diktani, Amru La Meis Bailach V'Niskatsha V'Yachak Afba Baila Muteres Lachzor Lei Hasam Nami Frekti Gemara Neima Girei Se V'Kidei Se V'Nimsis Eishis 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 Eishis. The Yaila, 1 second. What will people say? In other words, our kasha is, why does she need a get? Answer: because people, remember, don't confuse us, or I shouldn't be confused. We're not answering right now, we're not addressing right now, why is she forbidden to go back to the husband? We're simply asking, we're only focusing on one question. Why does she need a get from the second guy? Answer: she needs to get from the second guy because people will say Girei Sev and Nasa Zeh, and an Eishes Eishes Yaitzev Shelo Beget. Ever she needs to get. So what is the Gemara's kasha?
Well, but we're really saying she does not need to get officially. We're just doing it for the perception. That's
yes,
essentially right.
Yes. So what is the Gemara's kasha from Meis Bailo Vinis Kasha? Hachanami Girei Sev Kidei Eishes Eishes Shelo Beget. The Yalom boy get. Okay, yeah. In other words, the Yalom boy get is, you're asking me, Akasha, how can I matcha her without a get? The answer is she needs a get. Now, you can then ask another Akasha, if she needs a get, it looks like Machzor Grusha, but that's not the Gemara's business right now. We are not focusing on Machzor Grusha. We are simply focusing on, do you need a get from the second guy? And the Gemara wants to say, Nahava Mina, you do. By Nisuin, she's forbidden to go back to the first husband. By Niskatcha, she's permitted. But in both cases, you need a get. Now, only after that, the Gemara then asks Akasha, it looks like Machzor Grusha. Meaning, once you say you need a get, it looks like Machzor Grusha. That's a new Kasha. Answer, this goes like Rav Yossi Ben Kippur, who Taka says, you're allowed to be Machzor Grusha Mina Erson. So that's exactly the chiluk. So according to this, the chiluk between Nisuin and Kedusha is not whether or not you need a get. You need a get in both cases. But by Nisuin, it's Asura Lachzor Lei because it looks like Machzor Grusha. By Erson, it's Muteris Lachzor Lei like Rav Yossi Ben Kippur. But in both cases, you need a get.
So wasn't Mashal the Rav Paskin like this, though, and we hold halacha that Machzor Grusha also has been a...
Well, we don't Paskin that way, but okay, that's another question of the Mishnah and the Braisa, but the Braisa, the Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi Ben Kippur. Now, that already, is a little bit of a different dynamic, and that is sometimes the Mishnah will give you the implications of a certain view, even though we don't paskin that way. Meaning, Rebbe doesn't mean to be machriya like Rav Yossi ben Kippur, but he means to point out that according to him, according to Yossi ben Kippur, there would be this nafkamina. Okay, but then the Gemara says not that way. The Gemara brings a raya. Hamidiktani seifa. The seifa says by niskatsha afabishnas nachron get, that if the second guy gave her a get, she could still marry a kohen. But if this was a mandatory get, for sure she couldn't marry a kohen, even if it's a rabbinic get. It gotta be that there's no need for a get at all. Michlal the low boy get, the boy get, even midrabanan amayle pasumena kahuna. So therefore, the Gemara is chayzer. The Gemara says, by niskadsha, you don't even need a get. So frek the Gemara says, why don't you need a get? The answer is, because people will not say, in other words, if first husband comes back and people see that she's marrying first husband without a get, instead of jumping to the far-fetched conclusion that an eishes ish is yaitza shalom beget, they will simply interpret that there was a tanai or a tois in the kedusha sheni for which no get was needed. Now this kills two birds with one stone. Because once you say that, once people will interpret the Kedushe Sheni as Kedushe Betais, number one, that takes away the Chashash of Eishesh Is Yaitse Shelo Beget. Number two, it takes away the confusion of Machzir Rushasai, even like the Chachamim who are Cholek under Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Meaning like this. The Chachamim say there is an Isser of Machzir Grushasai even Min Ha'erisin, but if the whole Kedushin is Batul Lamafreya because it's a Tais, then Feshtezach she can go back to her first.
Only said it's by Erisin, not by Isser.
So now that's the next kasha. Okay? So we're explaining the Seifa, right? That the reason why Niskadsha Muteres Lachzir Lai is because you don't need a get, and people will be taila kedusha.
You're talking about wherever you are, and this is a big event, right? The guy who they thought was dead is now
right.
alive.
Right.
So why wouldn't people know that?
Well,
people are going to say all sorts of things. They see this, and they'll.
You know, you're back to this. You know, some people read the story. Some people only get the retraction, or they don't read the retraction, or they only see the second story. Here, the Chachamim have to be concerned with the idea that a woman is living with one guy through a marriage, when the guy that she was married to is next door. So some people will know. We thought he was dead, and that's why she married. Other people are going to not know that he's dead. There might be newcomers who will hear about the marriage, not hear about the death, or whatever it is. You know, it's always a problem of what people hear.
It just sounds so strange to me, because most places, people lived in small towns, everybody knew everybody. Right.
Well, Yerushalayim was a big city in Roman times. You know.
Okay, so but the people who know that they were that she was married before, they also know about the story. You think?
Well, I hear, but you know, not everybody is so attuned to all of the details.
The question is more like what are the Chachamim make these rules?
Yeah,
and many times they seem to be based on very very far fetched.
Yeah.
You know, far-fetched scenarios. And I'm just curious. We're always wondering what people say, what they mean when they say this. But here it's like, you know, like these are facts that are big events. I mean, when somebody disappears.
There was no newspapers. Everyone, it was all word of mouth. They didn't have like a town square where someone said, "Hey, you know, today George came back."
You have to.
But in a few minutes, as soon as it goes on, it tells Shimon, Shimon tells Ruben, the whole circle, next thing, all kinds of things.
Telephone, next thing, you know, he's. Yeah, but let's just see if I have to stop in a minute. I have to go up to Derek. But So the Gemara then asks the Kasha, Eibazai, Reisha Nami, Amri, Nesuei Tais Haba. The same way we say Kedushei Tais, we should say Nesuei Tais, which would mean two things. Therefore, she should not need a get minha sheni, and therefore she should be muteres lachzor l'rishain, because it doesn't resemble machzir gerushasai. Right? That's the Gemara's kasha. Now the emphasis is, at this point, we could interject that if you hold, we paskin in fact, ein tanai b'nisuin, meaning if you're Makadosh on a Tanai, and then you're Bayil, you make Nisuin, Lahalocha, we say that you're Meichel all the Tanai. So you could say, Pashit, once there's Nisuin, it's not Shayach Kedushay Tois. But some want to be Mechalik. Again, we'll have to talk about this. Some want to be Mechalik between Tanai and Tois. Although you could describe Tois as it's Tanai as well. Let's take this case. Let me give you two cases and see if they're analytically the same. If a person's Makadosh a woman, I read Makadoshly, Almanas, that you give me 200 zuz. So if she gives the 200 zuz, she's Makadoshes. If she doesn't give the 200 zuz, not Makadoshes. That's a Tanai. On that we say, once he's Bayil, that's why it's not Shach that he'd have to know, once he consummates the marriage, Ain Tanai bin Nisuin. In fact, that's why they want to suggest with Aguna, when one of the suggestions they say, be Makadosh on the condition that if you demand a get, I'll give you a get within 30 days, and if I don't give you the get, I'm afraid there was no condition. So all the Gedalim say it's not Shaykh such a Tanai, because Ain Tanai bin Nisuin. Now, let's take another Tanai, which externally might have the same Lashon. Hayriyat Mekudeshesli Almanas, that I'm a Kayen, or that you're a Kayenis. In other words, it's not a Tanai about future action. Mm-hmm. It's a Tanai on a Metzias now. Now, although you could say, exactly right, if the Tanai is not Mekuyim, the Kedushin is Nekar L'mafreya, but that's a Tanai where there's also what's called Tois, meaning the marriage was made on a fundamental factual mistake. And in fact, many Teusim can exist even without a Tanai. They might be so understood. Mm-hmm. Rav Moshe says, for example, a man marries a woman and the man turns out to be gay. Mm-hmm. Rav Moshe paskins, you don't need a get, because that's Kedushin Matai, so a woman would never have been maskin to that. He actually paskins. You don't need a get.
Even there's evidence that he was not, that she did know?
No, if she knew, then it's not a tie.
I had a problem, but I don't know if it's something.
Okay, that's going to be questions. Well, all I'm saying is, that when there is a tie regarding the existing Messias, that is very fundamental, there were not mechalek between Erson and the Suin. That's right.
Meaning that's not every time. Let's say he was Bayil. I don't know. Yeah. Going, he was Bayil, I don't know what.
But even if he was Bayil,
she would not be masked.
She doesn't need a get. She would not be masked. Meaning the svara of ein adam aisa bilas or bilas nus, which also applies to her, only pertains to tanoim of the future. Mm-hmm. And not tanoim that are tais at the time of the marriage itself, and that's meduyik from the Gemara here. That's why the Gemara doesn't say kedushin kitchal tanai, because kitchal tanai, I would say ain tanai b'nisuin, over nisue tais that I do say, and that's why taisus is chaylik and Rashi. Be careful. We'll go back to Tais, but that's why Rashi says the case of Tais is Almanas Shani Kohen V'nim Salevi, not Almanas Shani Etein Lach Masayim Zuz, because of that I say Ain Tanai B'Nisuin. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to run, but okay.